Welcome to Your Podcast or Mine, where the creative minds behind the mic are interviewed. Now, let's get things started. Here's your host, Sherry.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Your Podcast or Mine. And on this episode, I'm speaking with Aaron Peterson, the creative mind and editor of the podcast, The Hollywood Outsider. So thanks for joining me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. Sounds like fun.
I'm glad that we finally got to speak. We initially scheduled it, months ago, but there was a hurricane, impending hurricane coming to Florida, so unfortunately I had to cancel. The house is still standing, and I'm glad that we're finally speaking today. So I appreciate that you agreed to come on the show.
Yeah, you picked the one excuse I can't say. Oh, right, like I got a hurricane. Oh, I'm gonna have to swallow that one.
Yeah. So no excuse. So basically, The Hollywood Outsider is a film and television podcast with reviews and discussions and entertainment. I was listening to several of your podcasts, but I just got finished listening to your marathon discussion about the films and television of 2010 to the current time, your favorite films and TV shows. So, wow, that must have been like, you probably needed to get hydrated after that show, huh?
Yeah, that was a lot longer than we expected, because we did TV and film in the same episode, and we probably should have broke it up, but what are you going to do? Hindsight 2020.
Well, it was a fun show anyway. So so why don't you start with a little bit of background about yourself and the podcast, how it came to concept and being.
Oh, how far back do you want me to go? It's been on for 8 years. I don't know how much history you want.
Well, give as much as you like. I mean,
okay.
I have an hour and a half, so.
Well, let's see. Originally what happened was I started a website way many, 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 many years ago called Let's Talk About Movies. And it was kind of very similar to Ain't It Cool News in that respect. I don't know if you're familiar with that one or not. And as we went on, it just became too much of a hassle to try to keep up with. And really, you know, a lot of bloggers were starting to jump in to the foray. So it really just became, you can't keep up, so why bother? And then I changed it to Hollywood Outsider a little bit later when I tried again. Same problem. It's just, there's too much. It's too competitive to try to keep up to date with daily posts about what's going on in film and entertainment. And back then, you didn't have 400 sites doing it. You had just a few, but it was a lot of work. And you also didn't have WordPress. You had to do all the code yourself. So I had to learn all the code, and it was just a cumbersome process. So what happened was I was still writing reviews and whatnot. You know, I've been a critic for a long time. And I had a friend who asked me if I would help him start a podcast, because I know technical aspects. I can learn technically very quick. And I already had a voice because of writing film reviews. So I went and looked into it, kind of saw exactly, you know, at that point, I really didn't listen to many podcasts. It was kind of still a burgeoning concept at the time. And I started just doing research and trying to understand how to make a podcast, how to make one, how to edit one, how to post one, how to get it out there, how to get people to find, you know, everything you need to know about podcasts. And once I kind of got the hang of it with my buddy's project, I was just kind of enamored with the idea that, so I can do what I always wanted to do, which was create a podcast that was focused on film and television and looking at a film from a perspective of, you know, from a critical eye, but also just not being pretentious. I felt like every podcast that I did hear about film and television was pretentious. You know, they didn't seem to enjoy movies. They just wanted to tear movies apart. You know, I wanted something that would appeal to people who love Taxi Driver, but also people who love Transformers. You know, that was kind of my mental sales pitch. And so I just went from that and gathered three guys that I knew would fit, and we started the Hollywood Outsiders, a podcast, and it kind of took off from there. And then I branched off, and I've done several other projects since then, but I'm always still a part of the Hollywood Outsiders.
So obviously there have been probably some changes. How did you meet the current co-hosts, Amanda Sink and John Davenport?
We've definitely gone through some changes. You know, we started back in 2011 with Scott and Brian and Justin, and they're all three no longer with the show. They've, over the years, Scott branched out and did his own. He's doing his own gaming podcast. Brian just got tired of doing podcasts, and Justin, sadly, he's actually passed away not a couple of years ago. So we've, over the years, we've kind of built up a certain kind of show, so it was very hard to find the right voices for that. John Davenport was actually a former listener of The Hollywood Outsider and had a very touching story, which I don't want to it's not my place to share his story, but he had a very touching story as to how he came to the show and whatnot. And we started talking and became friendly over that. And then I just found by becoming friendly with him and friends with him that he had a great voice. So we brought him on, and he just is a natural fit. You know, he's a lot drier than I am. He's very well informed. You know, he just fit. And then with Amanda, she's been on several things for many years. She does a Veronica Mars podcast, and she does Smirk with me on that as well. She just, we were looking to add a perspective that we haven't had before, which is a female perspective, to be perfectly honest. And she had a natural fit. And I don't mean that like we had to have a woman on the show. It wasn't like that. We just felt like, we've had only guys' perspectives for so long. It was time to have someone that could look outside that box a little bit. And she definitely fit that mold. And she just brought an energy and a lightness to it, which made it a lot of fun as well. So they came to it naturally, actually. Just from being as part of our groups and on Twitter and just interacting. I mean, really, they're a product of our Hollywood Outsider culture, I guess.
So, being that you have three hosts on the show and you mm-hmm. have an episode every Wednesday, how do you record and edit your shows? I imagine you must have a set time to do that. That is prearranged, due to the fact that there are three separate lives and three separate personal lives on top of that, and work and so on and so forth. So
yeah, that's always the tricky part, right? It's a lot easier now, which is funny because you'd think it would get more difficult as you went, but it's actually a lot easier now. We have a same set time. We meet at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday and put the whole show together, get it done. We're usually done 8:30, something like that. And then just edit it very first thing the next morning. It's really that simple. I wish it was more, the old way took a lot longer, put it that way. But the way we used to do it seemed to take, I would be up until 1 or 2 in the morning because I'm a person where once I get done, I want to get it completed. I don't want to put it off. You know, a lot of people record and then release like 3-4 days later. I just, my mental capacity won't allow it.
So, as you mentioned before, you cover everything from Transformers to Taxi Driver, mm-hmm. And the show also, the podcast also has a companion website that you have a lot of interviews and reviews on there too. So you're probably just on the hunt for good material and great guests to have on as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, we actually used to have a lot more interviews, and I've got a kind of a strict policy. I've had it same policy for years, is if somebody is going to do an interview, I prefer it to be somebody that's an independent filmmaker, because, and preferably a director or a writer. That's just how I am, because actors, they get interviewed all the time. Studio movies, they're constantly, I mean, they're doing junkets. You just hear the same stories over and over. You have a hard time, like, independent filmmakers and their journeys, and that's kind of where I like to stick with interviews. In terms of the reviews, yeah, we do a lot of the general movies for, you know, we're on Rotten Tomatoes and whatnot, and we do a lot of the general reviews, but we also try to do independent film as much as we can. We go to South by Southwest every year, and we do several film festivals, and, you know, we try to mix it up.
I really love the independent movies and the directors and the writers, because they bring in a whole different perspective and a fresh voice, whereas, you know, like you said, you hear the same story over and over. Like, for example, for the new Rise of Skywalker, although I'm obsessed and will be going to see it, I would much rather hear a story about how, like, for example, the Blair Witch Project was created, you know, with a budget of $200 or whatever the budget was, you know. So,
did you listen to that one? That's a great interview with Eduardo Sanchez. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that movie. And, you know, during the time that the movie came out, I used to live in the Poconos in the mountains. So my house was surrounded by trees. So after watching that movie, I was freaked the hell out. So
put a for sale sign on the front porch and left. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much. So
how's your neighbor? Even the little sticks, I just start leaving that randomly around your yard, just to mess with you.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, in regards to podcasting, I mean, like you said, when you first got into the medium, it was a burgeoning, you know, medium, I guess, and now it's completely, you know, it's being saturated by a lot of different podcasts. I mean, there are niches, and then there are sub niches, and, you know, sub niches. So, you know, I, of course, could tell the difference from the podcasts and stuff. But how would you characterize your podcast in comparison to the other movie and entertainment podcasts out there? What differentiates you, would you say?
Well, man, it's hard. Like, when we started, it was easier because there weren't really any shows that were doing it the way we were doing it. Now there's probably a lot more, but we try to have fun with it. We're not, you know, we might be film critics, but we're not coming across like, hello, and then in this shot, the light took, you know, I just, there's enough of those, you know, we don't need any more of those. So ours is kind of, I don't want to say regular people, because at this point, podcasts do that to death. We're just like you doing the same, you know, that's not what it is. It's critics trying to be a little bit more open about the movies that we're seeing and trying to enjoy movies. I just feel like there's too many podcasts that try to find ways to dislike movies, and I just don't know why you want to talk about something you don't enjoy. We try to find the good in it. For the most, not that we never say anything's bad, because there's plenty of bad, but we try to look for what shines and try to have fun with it as well. And I will say, we really do our show a little different. We try to break it up, even though it might go hour and a half, and sometimes, you know, you just had this marathon one, that's a special episode, but we always have, you know, some, like, talking points at the beginning. We might have a fun little game in the middle to break it up, do reviews, and then we'll have one topic where we just kind of have a discussion about whatever. So we try to make it almost like a variety show in many ways.
Yeah, well, you know, in my past, I was a music journalist, and I come, you know, with the same approach. I came into it as a music lover, not trying to pick apart a particular song or a particular band's look or band sound. I went in it as a fan, and you know, that's how I kind of did my writing. I mean, I wouldn't review a show, you know, or a CD if I, you know, absolutely, you know, dislike the band, because that's not my job. You know, there's someone that's going to love it that will give it a glowing review. Give it to that person. Don't give it to me. You know, give me what I want, you know, so I could give a perspective and, you know, show them that there's good music out there. So yeah, I see where you're coming from in the respect of movies, because I'm, you know, a television and movie lover myself. So it is nice to hear both sides, but, you know, not being too critical, like, you know, in regards to, like, how the scene was shot or, you know, what microphone they used or whatever, you know, or how they could have shot the scene differently, you know, the acting or what, or, you know, whatnot. So,
I mean, these are all important factors, but the thing with what a lot of people don't understand when they look at film critics and like, well, so all these critics didn't like this particular movie, or all these critics love this kind of movie. What they don't get is a lot of times critics are assigned to movies. I mean, if you work a major outlet, you're assigned, you know, that if you're a music journalist, you know that you're assigned, you're told you've got to review this album or you got to review this movie. Well, when that happens, oftentimes you'll get a critic that said, maybe they don't like Marvel movies, or maybe they don't like Scorsese movies, whatever it is, and they're assigned to it. Well, what do you think the odds are? I mean, they're kind of going to lean toward whatever they already like. Now, a lot of major film critics already like independent film and already like Scorsese, so he's kind of got he's going to be all right. But there's a lot of movies that are a lot more kind of, they don't have the voice yet. They don't have the base yet. So, you know, you don't really know where they fit. And if, you know, critics either don't want to take the time to review them because they're smaller films and they've got too many big budget titles to handle, or it's just not something they really would have cared about to begin with, then it can affect the review. Where we don't, nothing gets assigned. It's, do you want to review it? Do you want, you know, and we get a lot of independent movies and we'll review them or won't, but it's not going to be something that we're dead set against, unless it's like a principle. Like one of us might go see Cats just on principle because that trailer was just so, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah. So in regard to podcasting in general, so, you know, what are your thoughts on the growth of the, you know, medium? I mean, it's grown exponentially, even in the last year and a half, 2 years, especially with like the, you know, bigger names getting involved in it. I mean, even Netflix has their own podcast, you know, so.
It's difficult to get, you know, I do other podcasts, and I do one for Westworld and one for The Blacklist, two TV shows, like after show things. And those have a niche audience. So those are very popular right off the bat, like immediately they grab people because they like the show, so they're going to check out a podcast and so on. That's easier to stand out. It's much harder now for other stuff to stand out. If you have like a unique idea, or you have something different, or, you know, even if you have something generalized, it's really hard for people to even find podcasts that are new anymore, just because everything already has somebody who has a Twitter following attached to it. So you're really fighting to get noticed if you start one now, which is, that's the honest truth. There's just too many celebrities that are in the mix, and it's very, very hard for independents to get their voice out. So what I would say to your question is, I think it's very oversaturated right now with people just desperate for fame, as opposed to people that actually are good at what they do. And I'm not knocking anyone. I'm just saying there are a lot of podcasts that they have somebody famous attached to it. They aren't very good, but they're going to take a ton of downloads away from somebody who's really good at a podcast, but just doesn't have a voice or a name.
Yeah, it's very celebrity driven now. And when someone says a podcast, they're like, oh yeah, it's, you know, I've heard this one with big name celebrity and big name celebrity and big name celebrity. And it's like, well, there are a ton of independents, you know, just like filmmaking or musicians or whatever in arts and entertainment that are, you know, way better and deserve to be spotlighted a little bit more. And that's what frustrates me a lot with a lot of, like, even the podcast review sites. They only pick, like, the big names, and it's like there's, you know, there's, like, 500,000 independent podcasters who want to be heard, too. So why don't you, you know, talk about them for a minute, you know? So, you know, because I subscribe to every podcasting review site that's out there, and it's very frustrating not to see us represented, you know? So that's one of the reasons.
It is very frustrating. We don't. I don't understand. I mean, I look at all of the lists every time they come out, right? Top 10 podcasts, it's always the same ones. I mean, it's the same, and it's usually the same network behind half of them. So it's pretty predictable at this point.
Right, exactly. Exactly my point, which is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because I had a previous podcast before involving music, but I wanted to do something different, and I love podcasts, so I'm like, well, why don't I do a podcast that, like, you know, talks to other independent podcasters and get their voices out there, even though I'm not, you know, on the level of say, like, Gladwell or anyone like that. At least I, you know, there's an outlet for people wanting to, you know, get heard, you know, so... That's why I started it, but, you know,
that's great for doing that, because that is very important. You know, I love being able to find new podcasts, and especially independents, because there's no advertising. And honestly, you know, when I started, that's how word of mouth worked. You know, somebody listened to you, they told their friend, and so on and so forth. And to some degree, that still happens, just not as frequently. So anytime you can pass that along, especially with an independent podcaster, it really, really helps them grow.
Now, what do you say with independent podcasting? Do you think social media has helped out a lot? You know, in regard to, like, Twitter or Facebook groups or things like that. Do you think that they've you know, brought a little bit more attention to Hollywood Outsider or any of your other podcasts in general?
The Blacklist Exposed, Twitter really helps, because that show, the actors live tweet when the episode airs a lot of times, and we know them, so we can tag them and whatnot. That helps with brand recognition. In terms of Hollywood Outsider, yeah, it helps, but I will be perfectly honest. I mean, I feel like for a lot of people these days, they see when you post your podcast, you know, there's so many of them now. You just kind of scroll on by. I don't think not as many people are clicking on your Twitter links as they used to. Put it that way. Is what I mean.
Yeah.
It helps. But
yeah.
You have to have it. You can't not have a social media presence and have a podcast. You're just going to waste your time. You'll have 6 listeners, and it's going to be your mom and your sister, and, you know, that's not going to help you out.
Well, since you do, you know, several podcasts, how do you not get burned out? Is there, you know, from it, do you batch recordings or do you, like you said, you record and then edit and then move on? Do you take the time out to, you know, take care of yourself? And do, I mean, obviously you do because you're alive, you know, but just in general, like, what do you do when you get to the point of, you know, frustration, or because everyone faces it, you know? So how do you resist the temptation to walk away?
Well, it's true. I mean, at any one time I've got like 3 podcasts going. Westworld's only like once every couple of years, so that's really not that big a deal. But I do Smirk, Blacklist Exposed, and The Hollywood Outsider, and then another thing I do once a month, which isn't a big deal. I really budget my time, and the Blacklist one, it's only when an episode airs. So if there's no episode, I don't have to do a podcast. So, you know, that's basically, that takes out 6 or 7 months of the year, which makes it a lot easier. Smirk I do, and that one is, we do that seasonal. So we do, you know, 15 to 20 episodes a season, and they're short. They're only like a half hour when we do Smirk. And it's like you read a story and then you kind of talk about a topic. It's much easier to do because we can do like 3 in 1 sitting. So you do 3 and then you're done for a while. So it's, like I said, it's all about budgeting time. Hollywood Outsider is a little harder because that is every week, and you can't do them at once because you're reviewing movies that aren't out yet. So there's really no way to do that. So that's really the only one that really takes up a lot of my time. And I really balance it. And what I've started to do, I didn't do this in the beginning. The first 4 or 5 years, I never took a break. So I'm just like nonstop podcast, podcast, podcast. At some point you start to hear the word podcast and it's a trigger word, you know, and you're just like, I don't want to think about it again. But I've gotten to the point where I try to make sure I take breaks, because I do edit our show. But Amanda and John both do help, you know, they'll help with the posts and promotion and all that other stuff. So the editing and I do, but they do help with other stuff. So I definitely take breaks where I never used to take a week off. Now I will definitely take a week off every month or two, or a couple months at least. And around the holidays, we take, you know, 2 or 3 weeks off just because it's for sanity. And I think there's a mentality that podcasters have that you can't take a break because you lose your audience. They don't leave. They really don't. In fact, they probably listen to more episodes because they can get caught up because they haven't listened to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely batch my episodes because, you know, December, especially December, because half of my family, which is really small, all their birthdays are in December for some bizarre reason. People were, you know, like getting frisky in, like, I don't know, February or January, I don't know, but whatever. But and then there's like Christmas or you know, the other holidays, and it's just like crazy. So I, you know, like I'm on like a mad like binge interview schedule for at least like the next week, you know. So yeah, I mean, I get it, you know, because you do need to take a break too, because, you know, there's also like, you have to go to the post office and there's like a line around the block, and then, you know, there's all that other crap that's associated with you know, dealing with traffic and you know, other personalities and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I get it. So, I'm sorry.
I said, it's just balancing your time and trying to be wise about it. And it does help. Blacklist, I don't edit that show at all. So all I do is, you know, I do the format, but that's pretty easy to do. I can do that as I watch the show. And then I show up and I talk. So if I don't have to edit and I don't have to post, that makes it a lot easier to be able to do it. If I did have to do any of that, I wouldn't be able to do it at all. I just don't think I'd have the time. So I get the time factor. It's a matter of importance.
So in 2017, the podcast actually won an award. What's the scoop on that? How did that happen? And did you know that you were nominated, or did it come as a surprise?
Yeah, there's the podcast awards every year. I think the website is podcastawards.com, where your listeners actually nominate you. So you have to be nominated by your listeners to be a finalist. And it's down to 10 finalists for every category, and we've been nominated before, but we had never won. So yeah, it was a surprise, pleasant, shocking surprise for best TV and film. And it was pretty exciting. We were pretty stoked about that.
And did you get anything, or just the recognition? Did you get like a little award sent, or
no, you get an award? It's a really nice one too. It's like crystal, and yeah, it's a very, very nice award, and I've got it just a little bit away from me. I've actually got 2. I won one for Blacklist and the Academy of Podcast Movement. We won one from that one, so I've actually got 2 that I can look at from here and feel like I accomplished something in my life.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. So you actually also have a Patreon too, where people could get a little bit more of an inside look, behind the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So tell people about that and how they could find it and what the benefits are.
Oh, well, for Patreon, you can, mm-hmm. You can go to the normal website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a link right there for it. Or you go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And it's a way to, I don't want to, I'm not trying to make money off it, really. It's just more to pay the bills. And you just donate. And if you support the show, there's different tiers, and different tiers get you different benefits. There are actually, we do exclusive episodes specifically for Patreon, where we have one kind of podcast called Bad Movie Night, where we talk about a movie that's critics have said it is a bad movie or audiences didn't like it. We think it's not so bad. So we'll actually sit down and talk about that movie. We just did Taking Lives. And we actually had the screenwriter for that movie come on, John Bokenkamp.
Oh.
And yeah, so that's very cool. And we do a bonus episode as well for certain tiers. So, I mean, it's just something like, hey, we'll give you something extra. Thank you for supporting us. Here's a little something extra. I hope, you guys like it. And we've actually got supporters that take the highest tier but don't want any of the benefits, which is weird to me, but I appreciate it. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you're an independent podcast, and so you're basically self-funded. So any
mm-hmm.
little bit can help, even if it's a few dollars a month, Every penny counts, so.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people there's a lot of people that have Patreon and don't offer anything bonus, really, or they just offer an episode early, and that's fine. I mean, if that works for them, great. I just have a hard time. I don't like asking for money to begin with. I mean, we try not to do advertising because advertising can affect your, believe it or not, people say that it won't, but it affects your opinions because, Disney's spending a lot of money on you. You start thinking a little different about Disney movies. So we try to stay away from it if we can. And that does help, but I just have a hard time taking money without giving something. So we try to at least give something back for it.
Well, you also have merch that, you have a t-shirt that I saw that says I'm a hoe. So not
yeah.
personally. So what it means really is like I'm a Hollywood outsider, right? I mean, but hoe as in Hollywood outsider. That's how I take it.
That was a joke that grew faster than I expected. And people, for whatever reason, love that shirt. I get it. I like it. I think it's funny.
I think it's funny, too. But I can only imagine wearing it and, people making comments about it, too. Like, oh, really? How much? Or, I don't know. But that's just me being goofy.
No, they usually laugh. It's meant to be funny. It's meant to, and start the conversation wherever you wear it. I can promise that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So what would you say a common myth about podcasting is?
A common myth about it?
Yeah.
In which respect? Do you mean in terms of doing a podcast or like?
I think either you could take it either way. A common myth about podcasting in general or a common myth about someone getting into podcasting? Like what?
Common myth. Well, definitely for people that are, because probably a lot of people that listen to you are potential podcasters as well. One myth is you can't take breaks. I just don't like that myth at all. And I've never understood why it became prominent. But if you plan well, you can definitely take breaks. If you insist on being every single week, just do your episodes at once. And like you said, stockpile them. Do it something like that, because you need to take a break or you're going to start hating it. But that's a big myth that I don't quite understand. And that you can't do it. I've heard a lot of people tell people if you don't know how to do a podcast, you shouldn't do it. And I say bogus. You can learn it. Just get out and learn it. If you have a passion for it, I mean a real passion, not just that you think it would be fun to hang out with your friends for a couple hours, you go learn how to do it. and you might be surprised. You might be a huge success. I've seen a lot of guys who've gotten monumental success off. They just wanted to do a podcast about beer, and they're very passionate about it. And then suddenly, boom, they're getting 100,000 downloads a week, you know. So you never know.
Yeah, but you can't go into it thinking that you're going to be rich and famous overnight either. So it's a lot of hard work, too.
It's a lot of work. There is I think there is probably a myth that podcasting isn't that hard. And it's only not that hard if you don't do it very well, is what I would say. Because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. So now here's my fun question. Well, I have a couple.
Okay.
So right now, in the current time, what would you say your favorite movie and television show are?
Right now, like this year, right now, this time?
Yeah.
Or all time?
Well, all time is kind of tricky, but unless you have them.
My favorite movie hasn't changed for most of my life. So Rear Window is my favorite movie of all time. Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. Favorite movie currently would be Knives Out. I think that's a fantastic movie. Everybody should see. Have you seen Knives Out?
Yes.
Oh, so good. Such a great,
really
smartly written. It all works. It all plays.
I was just going to mention Hitchcock is probably one of my favorites ever. So I agree with that. With Rear Window, it's just amazing. everything about it is awesome. So I agree.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. I think 100 and I stopped counting around 140 times. I've seen it a lot over my life.
Uh-huh.
Favorite movie. TV show. Right now, favorite TV show. That's really hard. It's probably still. Game of Thrones just ended. I would say Game of Thrones right now, even though people didn't like the last season, I did. So I would still say that's my favorite for the last decade, easy. And all time, honestly, I'm probably leaning towards Psych. Psych is probably my favorite TV show of all time because I rewatch that so much still.
Yeah, that's a good TV show. Yeah. I'm like a crime, a lot of the TV shows that I watched that I really loved were like The Closer and then Major Crimes. Like just the two of those, the cast of both of those shows were amazing, and you know, a lot of them were the same people. You know, J.K. Simmons was in it, and Kira Sedgwick, and oh gosh, just a lot of really great people. And The Following with Kevin Bacon was probably one of my favorite television shows too, even though it was on for 3 seasons. So,
that was a show where I thought the first season was great, and then I wish they would have stopped at the first season. You know what I mean? Because I love that first season, and then I just felt like they lost where they wanted to go with it.
Maybe. I still enjoyed it. I currently, right now, Lucifer is probably one of my favorites, and Ozark is probably one of my favorites, too, along with Stranger Things, because it's very nostalgic, you know, and I'm going into, like, all of, like, Netflix's shows, but a lot of the content is really good on there, too, so.
I think Lucifer, all those shows were great. I love Ozark, especially how blue it is, but Lucifer, I love Tom, was it Tom Ellis, right? That's his name? He's great.
Yeah.
He's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So, if you could have dinner with any 3 actors or directors, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Ooh, dead or alive. I would definitely say Alfred Hitchcock. I would love to. He's my favorite director of all time. I'd love to have dinner with him. Steven Spielberg would definitely make my list because he's made some of the greatest movies of all time. And then Kurt Russell, because he's my favorite actor of all time, and I just would love to sit and talk to him and admire his beard.
That's cool. So you mentioned it before, but how can people locate your podcast and listen to it? And how can they make suggestions or give you feedback? Because I know a lot of podcasters love feedback, especially as independent ones.
Absolutely. So I'm on a lot of podcasts. That's fair. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you click on podcasts and look down, you'll see Westworld and The Blacklist Exposed and Presenting Hitchcock and Smirk. They're all linked there. So one place and you can find it. thehollywoodoutsider.com. The email to contact us is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com, or we have a Facebook group which has a lot of great interactions in it and a lot of positive, fun conversations. That's on Facebook, The Hollywood Outsider. We're on Twitter @FlyPopcorn. Why is our Twitter name different from our podcast name? Because you can't get Hollywood Outsider on it. You can't get, you know, it's just, we like to buy popcorn. It's our tagline. We've used it for years, so that's what our Twitter handle is.
Awesome. So is there anything that I didn't ask that I should have asked you about podcasting or Hollywood Outsider?
What you listened to it. So let me ask you, what did you like or dislike? I like criticism, so don't be afraid to critique it. What did you like about it and what didn't you like about it?
Well, okay. Well, let me preface this by saying there wasn't anything about it that I disliked. So you've got that. I love the conversation between the three of you. It's very lighthearted and fun, but I mean, you talk about socially relevant topics too, like, you know, you were discussing Bill Cosby and the Me Too movement in the decade recap, you know. So I mean, it wasn't all like punchline, but you know, it touched on the subject and you moved on from there in a pretty cohesive way. It flows. Even though the episode was longer, it didn't seem like it was, you know, overbearing to listen to, because the three of you have, you know, honest critiques that are thought out and spoken well. that's how I heard the show. So, and I enjoyed it.
That's the best compliment, honestly. So I appreciate that. Woohoo! That's it. I just wanted a nice compliment. So I'm just fishing, and I appreciate it. And thank God you didn't have anything you disliked, because, you know, I would have cried. Just kidding.
No, I would have. You know, there are so many podcasts that I listen to, and you know, there are some that I like more than others. I'm going to be honest, but so far the people that I've spoken with have, you know, a lot of value. If it's a history podcast or a podcast about animals or a podcast about space or physics or food or whatever, I think there's a lot of really, really wonderful content out there. So if there's something that I could find that I can enjoy, I mean, my playlist is pretty huge. So I try to diversify as much as I possibly can, so I'm not in one niche. But, you know, that's the cool thing about it, too. If I want to listen to a movie podcast or a TV podcast, I know where to look, you know, and that goes for the other genres out there, too. So that's how I feel.
Isn't it amazing how many, and I mean this sincerely, like so many independent podcasters are doing things and have ideas that I never would have even thought of. And there's a lot of great ones out there. You just got to kind of dig to find them. A lot of interview shows and whatnot. There's a lot of like really specific niche. You could find something on unicorns, I'm convinced, if you really wanted to. And it'd probably be, you'd find one that was done really well. And I think that's fantastic that we have that now.
Yeah. So before we go, do you have anything else that you'd like to share about people listening to this podcast who are just discovering yours, or to people that have listened to you for a long time who are tuning in because you're on the show?
Oh, well, anybody that's a longtime listener, thank you for always listening. And I honestly, I have a lot of supportive fans, and that's fantastic. Fantastic. I made a pun, didn't even mean to. It's something that I will never, whenever I quit this, I'll never forget that, just because it's really meant the world to me. And, you know, even when times have been rocky or we've had people leave the show or new people start the show, fans have always been supportive. They've always been wonderful, which a lot of podcasts don't have that. You know, if they change hosts, you know, a lot of people will just abandon them and like, it's not the same. I think we've been pretty consistent for the most part, that people still enjoy The Hollywood Outsider and they like the kind of show it is, and we have the right voices in place. And honestly, I think it just keeps getting better, to be perfectly honest. So to people that are listening for that, I say thank you, because it's the only reason I'm still doing it. And to the people that have never tried it before, sorry, if you like movies or TV, just give it a shot. I mean, I'm proud of our show. I think we have a lot of variety. You can find just about any topic you can think of will be covered at some point. We do a lot of fun stuff. We do movie battle royale, where we try to find the best movies of certain categories. We do weird movie games, where we try to make things a little creepy with innuendo. It's just like a lot of things that we do on this show to try to have fun and also respect the craft of filmmaking, and hopefully introduce you to a bunch of movies you never would have thought about.
Excellent. I really love the conversation, and I'm so glad that we finally got to talk.
Yeah.
and learn about Hollywood Outsider, and you know, find a new podcast to listen to, you know, in regard to especially film and television, because again, there are so many out there. And the three of you have a really good rapport with each other. And like I mentioned, it's a fun way to look at things rather than being critical all the time. So thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate the interview. Thank you.
And to everyone listening to your podcast or mine, have a great day, and we'll catch you soon.